The Range Rover was Java Black Pearl, four-wheel drive, standard transmission. Teabing's manservant, Remy, on orders from his master, was doing an impressive job of maneuvering the vehicle across the moonlit fields behind Chateauvillette, away from the estate. Langdon, cradling the keystone, turned in the passenger seat and eyed Teabing and Sophie in the back seat. Beside Sophie, Teabing glanced over his shoulder at the bound and gagged monk lying in the cramped luggage area behind the back seat.
"So glad you popped in this evening, Robert," Teabing said, grinning as if he were having fun for the first time in years.
"Where are we going?" Sophie asked.
"This trail continues about 3 kilometers into the forest," Teabing said. "We shall emerge unscathed on the shoulder of Highway 5.
Unscathed? Langdon's head begged to differ. He turned his eyes down to his own lap, where the keystone was safely stowed in its wooden box. The inlaid rose on the lid was back in place. The monk in back was moaning now, struggling against his trusses.
"Are you sure we should have brought him?" Langdon asked.
"Bloody well positive," Teabing exclaimed. "You're wanted for murder, Robert. This scoundrel is your ticket to freedom. Now, Robert, could you be so kind as to hand me that phone?"
Teabing pointed to the car phone on the dash. Langdon handed it back, and Teabing dialed a number.
"Richard, did I wake you? Of course I did, I'm sorry. I'm feeling a bit off. Remy and I need to pop up to the Isles for my treatments. Well, right away, actually. Can you have Elizabeth ready in about 20 minutes?
He hung up.
"Elizabeth?" Langdon said.
"My plane. I fly from Le Bourget, a private airfield not far from here. French doctors make me nervous, so every fortnight I fly north to take my treatments in England. I pay for certain special privileges at both ends."
Sophie turned full around and looked at him.
"You think we should leave the country?"
"My friends, I am far more influential in the civilized world than here in France. Furthermore, the Grail is believed to be in Great Britain. If we unlock the keystone, I am certain we will discover a map that indicates we have moved in the proper direction."
As they rode on, Sophie was watching Langdon.
"Robert," she said, "you okay?"
"Yeah," Langdon said. "Somehow." Langdon glanced back at her. An incredible notion had just occurred to him. Could it really be that simple an explanation? "I need to use your cell phone, Sophie."
"No?"
"I think I just figured something out."
"What?"
"I'll tell you in a minute." She gave him her phone. New York editor Jonas Faulkman had just climbed into bed for the night when the telephone rang. "Jonas?" Langdon said when Faulkman answered.
"Robert, is that you?"
"Jonas, forgive me," Langdon said. "I'll keep this very short. I really need to know. The manuscript I gave you, have you sent any copies out for blurbs without telling me?" Faulkman hesitated. "Did you send one to the curator of the Paris Louvre?" Faulkman laughed.
"I take it Sonier told you."
"When did you send it?"
"About a month ago. I also mentioned you would be in Paris soon and suggested you two chat. Did he ever call you to meet?"
Faulkman paused, rubbing his eyes.
"Hold on. Aren't you supposed to be in Paris this week?"
"I've got to run, Jonas, but this explains a lot. Thanks." When the Range Rover arrived at Le Bourget airfield, Remy drove to a small hangar at the far end of the airstrip. As they approached, a tousled man in wrinkled khakis hurried from the hangar, waved, and slid open the enormous corrugated metal door to reveal a sleek, white jet within. Langdon stared at the glistening fuselage.
"That's Elizabeth?"
Teabing grinned.
"Beats the bloody channel,"